When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Adi Oladipo here. Thank you so much for downloading Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're here every single Tuesday live on TalkSport to myself and the great Gareth A. Davis. If you can't join us live, remember to subscribe to the Fight Night podcast channel. So much other great content there as well, such as Fight Night, Fight of My Life, and even the Mike Tyson story, The Boy from Brownsville.
This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
If you love your boxing and this is the show for you, Fight Night Extra, myself, Adi Oladipo, and one half of Fight Disciples, Mr. Nick Pete, in the building as well. Today, we're going to be discussing yet more noise but no action in the heavyweight division. The likes of AJ and Tyson Fury have all said so much on social media regarding potential fights, but we're still no closer to seeing any confirmation for anything. We're also going to hear from Frank Warren, who phoned into TalkSport to defend Mr. Tyson Fury and even took aim at my co-host today. How dare he, Nick Pete and Gareth A. Davis, for their comments about the Gypsy King on last week's show. The elephant in the room, though, seems to be the money on offer from Saudi Arabia. We are going to discuss if the riches on offer from the Middle East have held up the division. The fighters now reluctant to take any other fight out of fear of missing out on the millions they could potentially make for future fights. Plus, we're going to be talking a big win for Clarissa Shields on her homecoming fight at the weekend. And we're going to look ahead to two massive fights this weekend for Josh Taylor and Sonny Edwards. And we're going to hear from both men as well. Look, as always, lots to get through. This is Fight Night Extra on TalkSport 2.
Your winner by unanimous decision and still the undisputed female middleweight champion of the world, the GOAT, Clarissa T-Rex Shields.
Zero, zero offers been made. And the reason is, and everybody's been, and they've been upfront about it over there, Prince Khalid and his team, skill set, they've said, is because they're not in a position yet to make a written offer, and if so nothing can be done.
As I can say, that he didn't look too good in his last fight, you know, but I'm not preparing for that last performance. I'm preparing for the best version of Teofimo Lopez. But still, that's still not good enough to beat the likes of myself.
A lot of people might think, oh, be careful, Eddie might feed you to the... He can't feed me to the wolves because I am the wolf. I am the number one. I am the one that wants and has chased every single one of these fights.
Mr. Nick Pete, nice to have you with us, sir.
You too, buddy. Good to see you. Good to see you. Always nice to catch up. And, you know, we had a crazy three world title weekend. And then last weekend, it was the Clarissa Shields show. And we're looking ahead now to two big world title fights for Brits. Boxing's booming, buddy. Boxing is booming.
I said this to a lot of people who have a moan, and look, me and you moan, and you know, your sparring partner, Adam Catcher, likes to have a moan, but we've got to be honest, it's been a good couple of months. It's been decent. I've enjoyed it, especially when we've got the big ones coming, the big one coming, Crawford Spence, and we've had Garcia Tank, and it's been a good few months, and long may it continue. Quickly, before we start, I've just saw a tweet, a post, from Anthony Fowler, someone I'm sure you know well, announcing his retirement. We've seen him ringside, not doing anything. I was like, what's going on? Is he waiting for a fight? He's like, no, I'm done. I've had enough. You know, I've made some good money. My health is more important. A solid career Anthony Fowler had.
Yeah, he was an outstanding amateur, of course. You know, he was one of the most decorated amateurs the GB setup's ever seen. I guess you could argue he maybe stuck around in the amateurs a little bit too long. I remember him and Callum Smith coming through at very much the same time, and it was Anthony that decided to stay on from the Olympic cycle, and Callum Smith decided to turn pro. But yeah, listen, he did turn pro. He had good success. Obviously, he's been in some big fights domestically as well. But he's been, always been good with his money, Andy, and he's invested it well. He's got his, a couple of really good, really positive businesses that are doing really good things. And I think he's financially secure right now. And, you know, that's all you can hope for in this fight game is to get out with your faculties intact, with a couple of belts on the mantelpiece and some money in the bank. So good luck to him.
Yeah, get in, get rich, get out. And he's done that. So good luck to him. Let's talk about Clarissa Shields. She fought on the weekend. The quotes. And I guess with Katie Taylor losing to Chantel Cameron, that's now rock solid, firmed. She is number one, isn't she? I guess her problem, though, Nick, is she's running out of opponents. I mean, there aren't that many fights. If she was around 135, 140, there'll be millions of fights for her to make. So many.
Yeah.
But her being 160, 168, there just ain't that many dance partners, and she's struggling to find dance partners.
She is, and I'm concerned for the sport of boxing that she might just lose patience and she might go over to MMA full time. You know, she has had a couple of fights in mixed martial arts. She has, you know, she still continues to train in that sport as well, in MMA, purely just for competition, purely just to keep herself entertained and keep herself challenged. And we saw that the weekend. I know it was a standing opponent for her, but Marcela Cornejo, you know, she's come in at a couple of weeks' notice. She basically lost every round again. But this is what Clarissa does. She's just so good. She's so talented. Even when we thought we got her the perfect matchup, we found her Joe Frazier. We found her, you know, Hagler Haynes and Savannah Marshall. She comes over and she, you know, let's be honest, hardly broke a sweat, and she boxed Savannah Marshall's head off. And that's the problem, you see. It's keeping her entertained in this boxing game. That's the problem we've got now, because she is the GOAT. She is outstanding what she's done. Multi-weight world champion, two-time Olympic gold medalist. But she is still young as well, Addy. She's only in her mid-20s. Plenty of time for her to move over to MMA. And who knows? Listen, Holly Holm did it, and she was a lot older than Clarissa Shields. I could see Clarissa Shields knuckling down, 2 or 3 years of full-time MMA. Next thing you know, she's in the UFC. She becomes a superstar.
Yeah, and Dana would be licking his lips at that attraction. Someone that talks the way she does, the way she acts, and how boisterous she is, so good at media and PR. Perfect for what Dana White would love to see right now. Because you look at even MMA and sort of the female stars coming through, in terms of ones that shout out, there aren't that many, really, are there? There aren't that many at all. So he would love it. In terms of competition for her, potentially, I mean, we love Tasha, don't we? Tasha Jonas, obviously 154, but she's just undersized, isn't she, really? Look, she'll give it a go. She'll have a go, but she's undersized.
Yeah, but talking about, you know, the two options there domestically, Tasha Jonas and Terry Harper, they have got all the belter, super welterweight division in which, you know, Clarissa once cleaned up previously. She's fought there before. So she could, in theory, get down to that weight. But our two girls are former lightweights who have moved up for the opportunities that are in those weight divisions, because they are so much faster and so much more skilled than most of the field in that weight class. You bring Clarissa down to that weight, she's just going to look absolutely massive against both Harper and Jonas. Listen, financially, I hope it works out for them. They are good fights. But when I'm thinking about Clarissa's future and Clarissa's legacy, unfortunately, it just feels like it's MMA for me.
Yeah, and look, good luck to her. I mean, for her to dominate boxing and then potentially go over and do some damage in MMA. I mean, we saw what Krzysztof Glowacki did from the back the other day, didn't we? Do you know what I mean? Wow. Don't tell me these boxers can't go over and cause some problems. So, look, you never know if she gets over there and learns a bit of ground game. As you say, she's young. She's got the time, a bit of jiu-jitsu lessons. Who knows what she can do in MMA? I do want to touch on heavyweight boxing, right? It's the glamour division.
That's so frustrating, isn't it?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? It's so bad. It annoys the hell out of me. Before we touch on it, I do want to play out a little clip from Mr. Frank Warren, who phoned in and spoke to Gareth on Fight Night. And he came for your head. He came for your head, Nick. He came for Gareth's head. This is what Frank Warren had to say.
This is the fella who's gone abroad and fought the best, gone to their countries and fought, been to the States 3 times and beat the hardest punch in heavyweight out there in 3 brilliant fights, went to Germany and fought in 54,000 people in Germany and give him a boxing lesson when he was the best heavyweight out there at the time.
Klitschko. I don't think we're disputing he's not the number
one.
Well, that's Frank.
What's going down. And the thing you've done in the week talking to whoever that bloke you was talking
Nick
to.
Nick Pete on Fight Night Extra.
Whoever it is. I mean, what is all that nonsense about? What does he know? How does he know what Tyson's doing? How does he know?
Frank Warren, very, very, acting like he didn't know who you were. Yeah. Like, who's this? Who's that guy you was on with? Like, he knows who you are. He watches your channel. He knows exactly who you are. But I mean, look, you've always been honest and vocal on your channel about just the state of boxing. And right now, the heavyweight division, again, supposed to be the glamour division with four massive names. You can chuck in more if you want. Just is stagnant. It's just they pressed the pause button on it for some reason.
Yeah, completely. You know, and the guy at the top of the tree, the number one heavyweight on the planet, the guy that everybody looks up to, Tyson Fury, is the main protagonist in all this as well. All he does is talk about fighting these days. He doesn't actually do it. He's not committing to any fights. He hasn't got anything in the pipeline. Mm. All he's calling out Anthony Joshua once Anthony Joshua walks away. I think last week when he called out Joshua and said, we've sent a contract over. Never mind Joshua's team. I think every boxing fan in the country kind of rolled their eyes and said, oh, not this again. You know, quite honestly, do you think Anthony Joshua's management team even opened the email offer? It was like, what's the point? What's the point of going down this road when we know it leads to nothing? I think we all know Anthony Joshua's now hopefully going to commit to a fight with Dillian White. Then there's a potential fight with Deontay Wilder towards the end of the year. We kind of know which direction he's going in. Why is Tyson making these kind of noises? You know, he already turned down the opportunity to pursue the Usyk fight. Usyk seemed like he wanted it. Tyson kind of, he did and he didn't. Listen, if Tyson had just come out back in February, March, when all this rumbling was going on, said, I want to do Usyk, but let's be honest, we can earn 10 times as much money if we do it at the end of the year. So as long as it happens at the end of the year, everyone cool with that. I think most fans would have gone, okay, Tyson, because anyone listen to this, someone said to you, you can do your job now and get paid this, or you can do a job at the end of the year and get paid 10 times as much. Every single person's going to go, okay, well, I'll kick it back to the end of the year. It's fine. But to pursue it and not see it through because of the Saudi money that's at the end of the year just kind of blew up in Tyson's face. And right now, I don't want the heavyweight champion of the world number one, to behave like that. I want him to take on all comers. I want him to defend that belt and prove to the world that he truly is the number one heavyweight on the planet. Handpicking Australians who are ranked number 50-odd in the world, nobody gives a damn. And I think that's why Frank was a bit upset, because myself and Gareth were like, we're not interested. We're not interested in seeing Tyson Fury face anybody outside of the top half dozen fighters in the division, because that's what champions should do.
Crazy, isn't it? Crazy. In the last 2 weeks, we've heard, and you mentioned those Australians, Dempsey McKean was one. I think Jael Pataia was another. And you're like, John Jones, I'll fight him, and I'll fight Francis Ngannou. And it does get to the stage where you're right. I mean, we shouldn't be, but we do kind of roll our eyes. We roll our eyes at the lineal WBC. And look, we're not trying to say he's the greatest heavyweight there is right now.
Yep.
And the fact he's not fighting is just annoying. I mean, we gave him kind of we kind of let it slip the fact he fought Chisora. It's like, okay, all right, just fight him. He's your friend. It's a payday for both of you, but not that again.
Yeah.
And all of us, you know, with the expectancy that it would be Usyk next, and it hasn't gone that way. And it's annoying. I'm thinking he can kickstart this all, everything. But no, look, right now, what are we, June? And we still don't know who he's fighting. There's been talks of Andy Ruiz. Oh, Andy Ruiz wanted too much money. I'm like, how much did he want? And what's going on? Like, I thought you fight for free and fight for, how much did he want then? It's just, it's so frustrating. It really is. It's not just him. I mean, Wilder's not doing anything right now either. Yeah, he hasn't really fired anyone either. It's just, honestly, I'm not quite sure what to make of it all.
There's so much talking and just not nearly enough walking. And then when other things happen, like, you know, Usyk, they're going to purse bids with Dubois and it's only 8 million. So Usyk will fight Dubois for 6 million and Dubois is going to get 2 million here. And then suddenly that gets spinned. Well, why wouldn't he fight Tyson Fury for 8 million? And why is it always about money? I thought with Tyson, it wasn't about money. I thought Tyson was a fighting man that would fight you for free at the bottom of the garden and no man born of his mother can beat me and all this stuff. Like, where's that gone? Where's that rhetoric gone? You know, listen, don't get me wrong. We're talking about the guy, as Frank reminded us there, who went out to Germany and done the business against Klitschko, ended an era of heavyweight boxing that basically put the whole of boxing on ice because it went to Germany and it bored the life out of the Americans and people fell out of love. Tyson ended that. It was down to Tyson that the whole heavyweight division got reignited again. And yes, he did go and fight Deontay Wilder 3 times in America. I was at 2 of those fights. Absolutely phenomenal. But that's the guy I believe is the best heavyweight walking this planet. I refuse to see him see out his career by treading water against guys ranked number 50 in the world. No, fight twice a year and fight the number 2. And if he's not available, fight number 3. And if he's not available, fight number 4. Why are we talking about anybody else?
Yeah, next man up. Look, we're going to talk more heavyweights a bit later. A couple of really big fights this weekend. Sonny Edwards makes his DAZN debut. We'll talk about that against Andres Campos. But the one I really want to touch on is Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez. Mm-hmm. I just put out a tweet saying, is Josh still the king at 140? Because all of a sudden, we've now moved on to the fact that Regis Prograis is number one. A lot of people think he's number one. We haven't seen Josh for 15 months. Switch trainer, I think, is with a really good trainer in Joe McNally. But I have no idea what Josh to expect. Whereas Josh 15 months ago was undisputed, pound for pound, top 6 or top 7. Not quite sure what we're going to see on the weekend.
Yeah, and that is like the million-dollar question. And you know what, Addy, that works both ways. Because Teofimo Lopez, there was a moment in time when he took all those belts off Vasyl Lomachenko that we were like, wow, this guy has just broke through. And he's a superstar. And unfortunately, he's been on such a crazy journey, more outside the ring than inside it since. Obviously, the loss to Kambosos certainly didn't help, but he's had a breakdown of his young marriage. He's moved from Las Vegas to New York, back to Las Vegas. Now he's in Miami. Now he's here. He's everywhere. His dad's mad as a box of frogs, you know, and you just don't know what version of Teofimo Lopez is going to turn up either. That, for me, that's part of the fascination about that fight at Madison Square Garden on Saturday night. Is Josh Taylor, you know, can we finally say 15 months ago in Glasgow, it all went wrong. It was an off night for him. That was him at his worst. The guy is back. Because the night before that fight, right leading up to it, you know, we said it many times on Fight Disciples. I think most boxing fans were saying it. He was the best British boxer, period. He was above everybody, above Tyson, above everybody. He'd unified those belts one by one, taking on some of the toughest opponents imaginable. Genuine world champions, former world champions, mixing it at the highest level since his 11th fight. Like, Josh Taylor was something very, very special. But he had an off night, and fighters are allowed to have an off night.
Yeah.
But it was what happened in the aftermath with the judging controversy, the way he handled it, the way Top Rank tried to cover it all up, the way he moved on, said he was fighting Jack Catrall, but that fight never actually came off. I just think a lot of British boxing fans have gone from being his biggest fan to now having a bit of a bitter taste. He needs to remind us all that Josh Taylor still exists and he's out to prove himself once more.
Yeah, let's hope he does. Because honestly, if you were telling me 15 months ago that Josh Taylor would still be fine at 140, I'd have said absolutely not. He can't make the weight. No way. He's going to be 32, 33, 147, 100%, mixing it with those big boys. The fact is he's been still at 140 surprises me. So
yeah,
let's see what he can do on the weekend. I think it's going to be a really good fight because, as you say, Tio, I think we saw it against Loma, he can surprise a few and step up when he needs to. And he's going to be loving this in his backyard or adopted backyard sometimes. As you say, he's everywhere. Should be a good fight on the weekend. All right, you're listening to Fighter Extra on TalkSport 2. Still to come, we are going to hear from both Josh Taylor and Sonny Edwards ahead of their fights this weekend. But up next, we're going to try and go for it, people. We're going to chat about the heavyweight division. Are the riches on offer from Saudi Arabia the reason it's being held up?
Tyson Fury, absolutely sensational to drag himself out of a 10-7 round, being on the floor twice in the fourth.
Anthony Joshua, get this contract signed and let the British fans have what they want.
It was a murderous, medieval uppercut from Tyson Fury.
There's no more running. You have to fight me. You cannot escape. The Fury is coming.
Welcome back. You're listening to Fighter Extra. Myself, Addy Oladipo, and Nick P on TalkSport 2. We touched on it a bit earlier, the heavyweight division. We're going to try and do a bit of a deep dive on it now because it is the glamour division. The heavyweight, when I was young, was the baddest man on the planet. It was the person that was getting paid the most until Oscar De La Hoya and Floyd Mayweather came around. And all of a sudden, it's just gone a bit cold. It's gone a bit cold. Dana White's offering Tyson Fury to step in the octagon. He was never, ever going to do and take on John Jones. Ngannou left UFC hoping to get a fight with one of the heavyweights. Wilder's out there doing nothing. Usyk just signed a deal with Saudi Arabia, basically. AJ looks like he's going to take on Dillian White. I don't know, where do you want to begin? Where do you want to begin on this, Nick? Should we talk about the main man first? Fury.
Yes.
Who do you think he's going to fight next, Nick? What are we thinking here?
Listen, I think he can't just sit around and wait for Usyk at the end of the year in Saudi Arabia. Not if Usyk is going to stay busy, defend one of his belts against Daniel Dubois in Poland, which we're led to believe is going to be happening at the end of summer. I think Fury himself needs some kind of warm-up fight, if you like. Yeah. I understand that was why they were kind of going down the route of the two Australians, because the options there, they were two southpaws. Usyk's a southpaw, kind of makes sense. But we, as you said earlier, he had his gimme against Chisora. You know, it's been over a year now since he's defended his WBC belt against a WBC-ranked opponent, which was Dillian White. And that was a one-sided fight anyway. So yeah. I want to see him in there with somebody capable. And if not somebody capable, someone that's going to make headlines. And I think for all the negativity that
I know I know the name you're going to say.
Do Francis Ngannou. Do the fight. The conversation Dana White started this week was, baddest man on the planet, it used to be boxing, now it's MMA. And I kind of agree with him. And the baddest man on the planet needs to be, it's kind of a street fighting mentality, isn't it? And 100%. You know, let's be honest, a multifaceted mixed martial artist beats a boxer any day of the week, unless you're Glowacki with your back on the canvas in the middle of a football stadium in Warsaw.
That looks incredible. That looks incredible.
Yeah. But I just think, do the Ngannou fight. Call it baddest man on the planet. Let Frank Warren sell the living daylights out of it. Let's have a little bit of fun at Wembley Stadium before the football season kicks off again in August. Get that out the way. Make some good money. The Ngannou thing's a one-shot deal. I think anyone in the top 10, anyone capable, should be able to take Francis Ngannou to school. Yeah. Yeah. And then Francis Ngannou's done in boxing, because you can't sell him again. You can sell him now as the UFC heavyweight champion who walked away to prove it to the world he was the baddest man. So Fury can beat him and claim that title for himself. Whether you believe it or not, he can do that by winning that one fight. I think Ngannou's probably going to want 8 to 9 million, which is a little bit less than what Ruiz was reportedly asking for.
We'll take that every day of the week.
I think that's doable. A sold-out Wembley Stadium. You get a lot of MMA fans, UFC fans, who'd be buying tickets to see, hopefully, Ngannou beat Fury.
Already. Sold.
Listen, I think that's the way to go. And, you know, hopefully Frank will be back on TalkSport next week saying, thanks to Nick Pete, I know exactly who he is. What a wonderful idea.
You know, it's funny, because I always wanted to see Wilder versus Ngannou, because I thought... Just because I've always thought that Fury could just box rings around Ngannou, couldn't he? Yes. Really? He's not going to stand and have a trade with him. Whereas Wilder would, and Wilder's not the best in terms of boxing ability. It's there, but it's not elite level. So I thought that would be just a fantastic shootout between two just monsters going in the ring with each other. But I'm with you. Look, if Fury can't get Usyk now, and he can't, because as you say, Usyk versus Dubois, and it's not going to be a Wilder 4, is it? Then yeah, I'm with you, Ngannou. That's what Ngannou wants. And it would be a big... I don't know if our producer is going to beat this out. It'd be a big FU that would be from Ngannou to Dana White. That would.
Yes.
Like, look, I told you I could get it. I've got it. There you go. 9 million in the back pocket. You never paid me that much. Good. And if he loses, he loses. He loses to the best heavyweight on the planet. It's not a problem. You can still have MMA fights. It doesn't lose your shine. So I'm with you. I like the idea of it happening. And I think Ngannou's trying to stoke it online. I think Fury's mentioned a couple of things as well. So hopefully, you know, we're always the last to know. Hopefully there's something going on behind the scenes, but it makes perfect sense. Wembley Stadium, it will sell out easily.
Exactly. And listen, your other options, Joe Joyce losing to Zhang ruined Joe, because it looked like it was going to be Joe Joyce versus Fury this summer ahead of Usyk. Joe blew that by losing to Zhang. Joe activated his rematch clause against Zhang, obviously then ties Zhang up as well. You've got Hergovic over this side, but he's kind of tied to Eddie in the zone. There's no way a deal could possibly be done there. So you're kind of running out of opponents. There's Big Baby Miller, who's on his way up. Jared Miller, of course, I'm talking about, who's a former sparring partner of Fury's. I don't think they go down that road. It's too much of a risk. You know, Ruiz wants too much money. The Wilder thing's been done. AJ's got other plans. You can't dig Chisora up again. Jeez.
No.
So, listen, from a fan's perspective, Do Ngannou, man. That would be fun. That would be fun.
Yeah. Let's talk about the money being sort of chucked around by the Saudi Arabians now. Like, and I've always said boxers should go and get as much as you can. We all know the danger of the sport. You know your worth, et cetera, et cetera. But it's clear to see that the money they're offering is, it's almost causing a bit of a problem now.
Yeah.
Because it's so much money that these fighters now think, okay, I don't want to risk it and I'll just wait until I get paid from them before I fight again. I think, look, hopefully we see AJ White, but there was a lot of talk about AJ sitting out because of the Wilder fight and not risking it. And Usyk looks like he will fight Dubois, maybe won't now he's signed to them. What do you make of it, this new investment? It has its good and bad, right? Or am I just seeing the bad side of it?
Well, you know, we're seeing it in football as well, aren't we? You know, we're seeing Ronaldo going over there. It looks like Messi's probably going to end up there. Karim Benzema's just walked away from Real Madrid to sign with the Saudi.
Think about that. You've walked away from Real Madrid, the greatest football team ever. Ballon d'Or winner. Like, no, I'm good to go.
Yeah. Because, listen, money talks at the end of the day. The last I seen was there was talk of it being around £121 million on the table for Usyk and Fury to share. Oh. And I think that, you know, Usyk signing with a management company, you know, sports group out in Saudi Arabia this week as well, is him basically saying, right, I don't want to negotiate with Fury anymore. I've tried that. He kept changing moving the goalposts. Mm. I'm going to sign with you guys. You guys, you just let me know when the fight is. You guys sort it out. I think by doing that, that's the only way it happens now is in Saudi Arabia, because that's where Usyk's people are in Saudi Arabia. So it's changed the game in terms of, you know, there was a time when Las Vegas used to be the home of boxing. And now, you know, Las Vegas, very much the home of the UFC, but big pay-per-view bouts like this, certainly the heavyweight division in recent years, are just starting to, you know, AJ's never even fought in Las Vegas. His last couple of fights were in Saudi Arabia.
You know,
there's been a real shift in where the power is in this heavyweight division. And like a lot of things in life, the power shifts to where the money is.
I wonder when it's going to start sort of trickling down. And I mean down in terms of the weight divisions to the lightweight kings, to the guys in the welterweight division. Like, you know, because, I mean, you can imagine Gervonta Davis obviously got paid enormous amounts for that Ryan Garcia fight. Imagine the Saudi Arabian said, okay, we can pay you four times. You versus Shakur Stevenson over there. And there's not much Vegas can do to compete with that. There's not much Al Haymon can say to compete with that. It's eventually going to take over all of boxing if they want it to. It's almost like they're just cherry picking what they want now, but they could come and say, we'll take all of that.
Yeah, I think the only thing that might save boxing is the fact that, as you say, it's everything. You know, they want tennis, they want golf, they've got the Live Golf tournament. They're clearly making a big push towards football as well and getting a lot of their biggest names to go out there and play football. So it's because it's so widespread, it's going to take a long time to come down to the lighter weight because, you know, at the end of the day, if a fight's live in Saudi Arabia, the timing just does not work for the pay-per-view model in America. Yeah. And I think that's the one benefit they've got, that the biggest pay-per-view market on the planet remains still the United States. So I think Las Vegas has got some time yet, but you know, I've been out to the Middle East an awful lot in the last 5, 6, 7 years covering both boxing and MMA. And there's a real thirst for it out there. You know, there's a lot big expat community out there. There's a real thirst. And obviously that region of the world is trying to reinvent itself as the number one tourist destination. And this is certainly one way. It looks like it's always going to be the end of the year, Addy, as well, because the weather's so hot in summer. Yeah. You can't really get there. And then there's religious holidays early in the year. So it seems like the way it's going, the heavyweight division is going to tickle along until October, November, December, which is when we're going to get the super fights and they're all going to be in the Middle East.
Yeah, one fight that looks like it will be here, possibly, I'm guessing, the O2 Arena. I think you mentioned a bit earlier, AJ, Dillian White too. I think they're looking at a date. I saw a date today of August 12th for that one. AJ said some interesting things on his Instagram story the other day. Dillian White responded. Is there an appetite for it, number one? And number two, obviously, AJ Franklin wasn't on DAZN pay-per-view. It's mad to actually think AJ wouldn't be on a pay-per-view platform, but they deemed it not big enough. Is this big enough for it to go on a pay-per-view platform? So one, is there a first for it? And second, is this pay-per-view worthy, this fight?
I think there's absolutely a thirst for it. I think it will go pay-per-view just because of AJ's stature. I think Franklin being a guy that was, you know, ranked pretty deeply, it was difficult to sell a pay-per-view there because we have accepted now that AJ is in a rehabilitation phase of his career. Yeah. I think Dillian White, from an AJ perspective, Team AJ, I think Dillian White is the right fight that's next. You know, a lot of talk at the start, he should just take the Fury fight. You know, you never turn down a world title fight. It's easy to say that, but when you're Anthony Joshua and you're the commercial behemoth that he remains, then you're always going to get world title opportunities because you're Anthony Joshua. And the fact that you've got, you know, your desire for the game long-term is being questioned at every post, that, of course, gets people excited and gives up people false sense of security anyway. I'd love to see AJ back to where AJ once was. The thing is, we need to forget about that because that guy doesn't exist anymore because he's older, he's more mature, he's trying to extend his career by redesigning the way he fights, by changing his fighting style. Lennox Lewis did it, and Lennox Lewis had incredible success. Can AJ do it? That's the million-dollar question. And can he do it and still remain relevant in a division that is, you know, sometimes it feels like it's moving really slow, and then other times you're thinking, wow, what just happened in the last 5 years? So much happens in a second.
Yeah, I'm just happy that, look, I spoke to AJ at the start of the year, and he was very firm in it's going to be 3 fights this year. So when I think he posted something along the lines of not fighting until December, I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
you have to fight. Like, one thing AJ's been for the last 4 or 5 years is inactive. We just don't see enough of him. And I'm just like, how can you grow in your sport if you're just not fighting enough? So I think it's a good thing that he gets another training camp with Derek James.
Yeah.
Look, and I'm with you. Look, the old AJ doesn't exist anymore. I saw that now against Jermaine Franklin. So let's see what Derek James can do with this new AJ. I think we saw Klitschko have a little bit of a rebirth under Manny Stewart. You mentioned Lennox Lewis there as well. And I'm hoping if AJ can get anywhere near that, then it's a win-win-win. But I just want to see him stay busy. And I think he needs another training camp because if it is going to be wilder in the winter, I need a bit more. Yeah, I need to see a bit more from AJ against Dillian White to know that he's ready for that smoke. But look, it's interesting that you think it'll be pay-per-view. I think it will be as well. I just wanted to know if AJ's still that pay-per-view behemoth that he once was. I'm not sure, Nick, if I'm honest, if he still is that guy. There aren't that many that tick those pay-per-view boxes anymore.
I think it's the fact that he crossed over into the mainstream so efficiently, you know, and he was, let's be honest, Eddie Hearn did an incredible job with him straight from the Olympics and took him up and down the country, introduced him to everybody. He was on all the right, you know, he was on all the right chat shows and everyone was saying all the right things and he was in the magazines and everything else. And he took us all on this journey and he was a wrecking machine. And that was the most important thing. He was smashing everybody to bits. And it's easy to fall in love with a sportsman that's generating so many social media clicks. And you know, if you're buying a ticket for AJ at Wembley, someone's getting knocked out. And then Klitschko night was amazing. Uh-huh. And these are legacy-defining moments. But then Andy Ruiz happened in New York, and he's just not been the same fighter since. He's just not been the same guy. And I think people now are looking at the performances like Jermaine Franklin and going, well, maybe that's not somebody I'm willing to, you know, buy tickets for. And he's lost, maybe he's lost a portion of that casual audience, you know, and I don't say that negatively, Addy. Me and you both know the most important audience for boxing is the casual audience because that's where the money is. We want as many people as possible. Hardcore boxing fans are going to watch him until the day he retires, but we need to get the football fan back in love with AJ. And the only way you catch their attention in this day and age is viral moments, viral knockouts. He needed a knockout against Franklin and it didn't come. And now the pressure's on to deliver a knockout against Dillian White. Otherwise, he's going to go into that fight with Wilder potentially end of the year. And I do not fancy his chances.
Jesus, nor do I, if I'm honest with you. But I think you're right. Dillian White's almost the perfect opponent that will still bring that casual audience back because they're going to have their words as they always do at the press conference, at the weigh-in. There's going to be a table thrown. Needle. There's going to be insults thrown. It's going to be exactly what you need for an AJ fight week. All right, you're listening to Find It Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to talk about 2 fights that will be happening this weekend, starting with Josh Taylor versus Teofimo Lopez.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Final Extra on TalkSport 2. Myself, Adi Oladipo, at Nick Pete of Fight Disciples. Let's talk about Josh Taylor. He's back. We haven't seen Josh Taylor in the ring since that very, very controversial win against Jack Catchall 15 months ago. He goes to America to take on Teofimo Lopez. Interesting fight, this one, Nick, just because I think me and you said this at the top. So much about Josh and what Josh has been doing for 15 months. But Teofimo Lopez, he's been on a whirlwind himself. He's been all over the place, right? Mentally, things outside the ring, performances inside haven't been great as well. Sandor Martin performance wasn't great. So it's two guys desperate for a win, but two guys that we know at their best are pound-for-pound fighters, very elite-level boxers at their best.
Yeah, and that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? That's what we're going to find out on Saturday in New York at Madison Square Garden. Who's still got some of that left in them, because they're two very turbulent characters who have just endured the most bonkers last 18 months or so. Yeah. You know, we spent some time with Teofimo Lopez last year over in Las Vegas, spent the day with him, myself and Adam Catchall, and we kind of come away scratching our heads. We got about 2 hours on video with him, and we must have published about 16, 17 minutes because
really?
He was just on such bizarre tangents about so many conspiracy theories and religion and race and everything. It was just his mind was just all over the place, you know, all over the place. And that's been reflected in his performances. That's been reflected in the way his nomadic lifestyle, switching one coast for the other. Mm. You know, him and his dad just don't seem to be able to you know, there was a time there when Tio and his dad were at loggerheads. Now they're in cahoots together. Mm. And the chip is on both shoulders. And they feel like the entire world is against them. And that worked before. Going into the Loma fight, it kind of worked that they had this turbulent inner relationship, but it was them against the world. Now it just seems to have completely gone the other way. And, you know, the two very, very unusual characters. And then kind of similar. Josh Taylor could do no wrong. Up until 15 months ago, he was the guy. He was the number one guy in all of British boxing. What he had managed to do to unify the belt in the super lightweight division were nothing short of remarkable. And then that night happened in Glasgow, the homecoming performance against Jack Catchall. And you know what, Addy, in hindsight, had he lost that night, had he lost on the scorecards like he should have done, he should have lost on the scorecards that night, we'd have probably already been at least up to a rematch, probably a trilogy by now. Easy, trilogy in the books.
Yeah.
He could have all the belts still wrapped around his waist. We could all still be championing Josh Taylor. We could all still be walking around with the Tartan Tornado flags. And he could still be the darling of British boxing. But instead, it couldn't have gone any worse for him.
Yeah, you're right. So it's almost like he won, but he really lost.
Absolutely.
Because he lost so much. Obviously, look, he switched trainers now. He's with Joe McNally. Someone that I know you know well, great trainer. one of the trainers almost coming on the outside like a horse that no one's expecting. Then he's just taking everything. And we saw how well he masterminded that Liam Smith performance against Chris Eubank Jr. So a really good training. Hopefully he sticks with this trainer this time, because this switch in trainers, I think it's 3 trainers in 4 fights now. It's just, again, his camp's all over the place. Tio's camp's all over the place, which is why this fight for me is so intriguing, because I still think Josh could be king of 140. And I think Tio still could be that superstar we expected to see him blossom into after the Loma fight. Both could be true, but one's going to be wrong on Saturday night. And I have no idea which one is going to be wrong. Let's hear from both fighters. They exchanged words recently. Hopefully there's no bleeping in this, because both of those two have salty mouths, to say the least.
As I can say, that he didn't look too good in his last fight, you know. But I'm not preparing for that last performance. I'm preparing for the best version of Teofimo Lopez. But still, that's still not good enough to beat the likes of myself, you know. He's going to say the same thing about my last fight. Well, they both had crap last performances.
Let's ask him. Teofimo, was Josh's fight against Jack Catterall, is that indicative of who he is, or was it an aberration?
It don't matter, man. To be honest, it don't matter. You know, who he fought with, Jack Catterall, who's southpaw. You know, I'm orthodox, so I'm looking forward to putting on a show. You know, like I always do. Put him in front of me and I'll beat him. I don't duck or dodge nobody, and I think Josh Taylor definitely knows that. So, looking forward to this fight. Hey, and I just want to ask Taylor, shouldn't this fight be in the Mecca, not the theater?
I think it should be in the big one, yeah. Absolutely.
It'll be big enough. I'm glad
I think we'll sell it out, because you're going to talk some and I'm going to talk some. And you never had the kahunas to come here tonight and face me. I've travelled over halfway across the world. You never be man enough to come and face me to say hello.
Josh,
to tell you're going to get. It's never personal, it's business. This is a fight game. He's a good fighter. He's been talking a whole lot of smack about me for a couple of years. And now, you know, you've got to be careful what you wish for. He's now got it, so now he's never going to get a doing now.
What's the best thing Teofimo Lopez does?
He's very good at what he does. He's very good at what he does, but I see a lot of holes in his game, so, and I'm going to expose it
the
as
greatest.
Well.
Teofimo, what's the best thing Josh Taylor does?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yo, all the guy
beat 6 undefeated guys in a row. What?
He never fought Teofimo.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see.
Josh Taylor and Teofimo Lopez, they're exchanging words. That was a couple of weeks ago. Josh, very confident. And I can understand why. Josh has said things like he sees holes in Teo's game, and it's holes that he's going to exploit. And rightly so, the best Josh Taylor, I think, beats the best version of Teofimo Lopez. I think the best Josh Taylor I've probably seen is Pro Gray or Ramirez. I think that guy beats the version of Teo that beat Loma, just because Josh is a lot bigger, a lot stronger, probably a bit more confident as well. But I'm not quite sure. Do you still have him as the best 140-pounder, Josh?
No, weirdly, I don't, because I was there that night in Glasgow, and I actually think the best 140-pounder was the guy that, in my opinion, beat the guy and beat him convincingly. So Jack Catchell should be the guy with all the belts at the moment. I think the consensus in the sport is that Regis Progre looks like he has stepped up and been the guy now, and people forget the first fight with their fight, him and Josh Taylor, was a really close fight. I think Josh won it. But it was a great fight. It was really close. I think inactivity here is the big threat to Josh Taylor. You know, he hasn't been inactive like this before. He's carried an awful lot of negativity around with him over the last 15 months as well. I think it helps that the fight's in Madison Square Garden, that he's able to go over there and kind of get away from it all, because he has really gone from hero to zero in a lot of fans' eyes. Just the way he reacted in the aftermath of the decision to Jack Catterall. And I really feel for Josh. You know, I think a lot of it went way too far. You know, there's a lot of abuse pointed towards his family, which is, you know, it's completely and utterly unacceptable. The fundamental thing here is Josh isn't the guy that scores the fight. Three judges score the fight. It's the fact that Josh came out and maintained that he believed he won. The boxers always do. But he hasn't given Jack Catterall the rematch that he promised that he'd give him. But listen, I was there, I was there 15 months ago in Glasgow. He looked us dead in the eye, Ad, and he said, I am never competing at this 140 again. I'm only here because I owe Jack Catterall a favour. He stepped aside, allowed me to fight Ramirez and unify the belts. I'm only keeping at this weight just for Jack Catterall, because I can't do it anymore. And he was so drained. He was absolutely skin and bone. And here we are 15 months of inactivity later, and he's still in the same weight division. That can't be good. Can't be good for him.
Win or lose, does he go to 147 next?
I don't know whether he does, because 147 for me now is sewn up for at least 12 months because we've got the fight that we've been waiting for, Errol Spence versus Terence Crawford, but it's not one fight. They both have a loser's rematch clause in place, so it's a two-fight deal. So that takes them at least until the end of the year. If they win one apiece, and we both know that's more than likely going to happen because they're so well matched, then the trilogy fight for them, which will define their legacies, happens probably this time next year. So if you go up to welterweight, there's no opportunities there. He's got the WBO belt. If he can hold on to that the weekend, that might give him some collateral to move up and challenge for the WBO welterweight belt. But again, if those two guys are getting it on, I'd forget about welterweight for the next 12 months.
Well, what's the money fight in the division now then? Because there's always been, in any division, is that guy that you run to because that's the money fight. It doesn't necessarily have to be a champion. I think we've seen that with Ryan and Tank a few weeks back. What is it for Josh? Is it Ryan, Devon, Regis, Jack Catchall rematch? What's the fight that you think makes him the most?
Disappointingly, Jack Catchall's probably not the guy because that only sells in the UK. Yeah. I think Regis Progre is a real big fight. I think Ryan Garcia proved he was one half of the first million plus buy pay-per-view in, what, 5-6 years? So he obviously brings eyeballs. So Ryan Garcia's obviously near the top of that list. And, you know, there's the Devin Haney's talking about moving up from lightweight to super lightweight as well. There's obviously a huge fight there, potentially with Devin Haney, who brings a lot of eyeballs. So what Josh has got to do is get the UK back on board again. Yeah. Get that support from here back on board. A big performance against Teofimo Lopez this weekend. Keeps hold of that WBO belt. Just reminds us all, right, that was an off night. Here he is. He's back now. And then he moves forward. I think Jack Catchall, hopefully if he gets the fight with Regis Progre, which has been talked about, I know Devin Haney's kind of, Eddie's trying to push Devin Haney in. No. We don't want that. We want Jack Catchall to fight Regis Progre. We want Josh Taylor to keep hold of his belt against Teofimo Lopez. And we want to see the two Brits fight for all the belts, hopefully by the end of the year. We want to see that rematch. The rematch has to happen at some stage, surely.
Yeah.
And hopefully it's for all the gold like it was first time around.
Yeah, it's a good point you made about Josh getting the UK side back on, sort of the UK public back on side. The fact that this fight's happening in America and not even the big MSG, Hulu Theatre, which is what, 5,500. This fight should be at the AO Arena, the O2 Arena. The fact this happened in there shows that you're right. He's lost sort of the fan base that he had sort of 2-3 years ago. I think he'll get it back because I think he'll win on Saturday night. All right, you're listening to Find Extra on TalkSport 2. Next up, we're going to hear from one of the most animated and one of the most talented, and he really is, fighters in the UK, Mr. Sonny Edwards. Welcome back to Find Extra on TalkSport 2. Adi Oladipo, Nick P. Big fight for this young man on the weekend. Sonny Edwards makes his Matchroom and DAZN debut. He takes on Andros Campos at this weekend, the unbeaten Mr. Campos as well. Sonny Edwards, obviously unbeaten, the current IBF flyweight champion. Have to say, I love Sonny Edwards. I love him. I love the fact that he's just a walking promoter's dream. Says what he wants, active on social media, fights in a style that's entertaining. Yes, he might not have the knockout blow, but a lot of these fighters down that weight class don't, unless you're named Julio Cesar Martinez. I love him. I love him. I think he's perfect. And I hope this link up goes the way I think it's going to go, with big fights against Bam, or, as I just mentioned, Martinez.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I want to see this guy in unifications. You know, he can absolutely follow in the footsteps of Josh Taylor and bring all the belts together in this flyweight division and bring it back to the UK. You know, Sonny is just, he's so talented. It's incredible. And I've been fortunate enough to be around a couple of his world title fights. I've done commentary on a couple of his world title fights as well. So I've literally sat right on the ring apron. And he's one of those boxers where he can leave you spellbound. You know, his footwork is incredible. His timing is unbelievable. He knows what his opponents are going to do before even they do, because he sets traps. He sets traps for his opponents and makes them do things they don't want to do to allow him to land his own shots. That's what he really is, playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers. You know, I seen him going with Jason Mamma, who is an undefeated fighter, very similar record to Andros Campos this weekend. Mamma, arrived in Dubai absolutely convinced he was about to become world champion. And he left that ring with Sonny Edwards, a broken man. A broken man. Because Jason Mama, like so many of these opponents who get bamboozled by Sonny, you've boxed internationally, you've been at the highest level, you've turned professional, you're undefeated, you're a world title contender. You know this game inside and out. And then you share a ring with Sonny Edwards, and he's got a cheat code that you're not privy to. And I've seen him mentally break fighters mid-fight because of it. He does things that other opponents don't have in their arsenal at all. Yeah. He does things so unorthodox, so natural. He's so comfortable in the ring. Honestly, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Addy. I think he could be Britain's best boxer today.
Yeah, almost Britain's best kept secret as well, because a lot of casual fans maybe don't know too much about him. What I really want to see from him, though, I mean, potentially there could be massive fights over here. There's something about, he almost feels like he's the one Brit that has the arrogance to go to America or even Mexico.
Mexico.
And take on their champions. Like, he would go and fight Julio Cesar Martinez in Mexico tomorrow.
Yeah.
Without a hint of fear. Yeah. And I think there's something special about him doing it there and taking his belt from him in Mexico and then unifying it over here. Let's hear from Sonny Edwards. He spoke with Gareth A. Davis on his fight with Campos, obviously this weekend, and working alongside Mr. Eddie Hearn.
I think what a lot of people have the misconception is, because they live in a world that, oh my God, Sonny says something about Eddie Hearn, and Eddie Hearn says something back. Eddie Hearn knows my frustration. He knew my frustration. They're putting up graphics. Three flyweight fights for Martinez on the zone. No mention of the British champion that wants it. He boxed his brother, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, they even went as far one time as putting a picture of my brother and putting Charlie Edwards, and I'm thinking, what? Like, now you're really being cheeky. But now, sometimes you've got to ruffle a few feathers, as you know, Gareth, you know, to get things moving. And from the ruffling of feathers, you know, a day later, a towel in between the legs apology, and then an invite, well, not an invite, free ringside tickets to Eddie's show that very same week, those tweets sent out when I was there, and then we was on an interview together. So, like, can you really see it? Like, Eddie knows what I'm willing to do to make things start rolling. Like, I don't want to sit here and be ignored. I don't want to sit here and feel like I'm left out. If I get frustrated, I might kick out a little bit. I feel like it was always kind of a natural progression that there was a good chance that at some point me and Eddie would have been working together. I mean, it should have happened 22nd of October in Mexico. I was meant to be going up to Mexico City to fight the proud champion Martinez. I'd started training. We'd agreed my purse, the dates, when I was flying over there, all of that. Started camp, went to Albania to stick with my training team, all of that. Got sparring partners all over. And then they had to come back, you know, the people that I was negotiating with, which was Matchroom at the time, who now obviously look after me, and they had to come back to the away fight and go, oh, actually, sorry, embarrassing. Our fight, I don't want to fight, you know what I mean? So now we're back in. I think now we're working together. I feel like it's a match made in heaven. I feel like Eddie has become the best promoter in world boxing with the, you know, the urgency just to make the big fights, make the events that people get excited for, revolutionize British boxing, especially in this modern era. When I can remember not too long ago where British boxing professionally wasn't really getting much of anything, Gareth, and I'm sure you can as well. And Eddie, as well as, you know, Frank Warren and the other promoters and the fighters as well, all play part. But Eddie having that willingness, you know, to get two fighters signed up and then getting them at loggerheads, that's perfect for me. A lot of people might think, oh, be careful, Eddie might feed you to the... He can't feed me to the wolves because I am the wolf. I am the number one. I am the one that wants and has chased every single one of these fights.
How important is unifying then? You know, we've got Undisputed in a few of the divisions. Now you're with Eddie. Do you believe you can create an Undisputed era for the...
Well, I'll be real. It's probably got to the point for me where this is my voluntary and then I'll have a little bit of time, you know, to try and make the unification next, right?
Yeah.
But what's going to happen in a minute after I beat Campos is that my last mandatory, who I beat in my last fight, I didn't think it was a hard fight, Felix Alvarado.
Yeah.
Is my next mandatory again. So
I see. Yeah.
I'm letting everyone know, and whatever they want to do with it, I don't really care, because I'm not going to stall my career any longer. Yeah. If they don't want to unify next and we can't get that deal over the line next, then I'll probably just vacate the IBF. I'll class myself forever as the lineal flyweight champion, the Ring Magazine number one, the most avoided champion that there ever has been, because I could not get unification despite being the most paid fight in the division.
Sonny Edwards, as confident and as brash as ever. And rightly so. He's got, you know, when you're an unbeaten champion and, you know, you're struggling to get the big names in the ring, you're going to have that sort of level of arrogance and confidence. In terms of sort of unifying, obviously Bam's the one that everyone wants to see him in with, Bam Rodriguez. And we mentioned Julio Cesar Martinez. There's a bit of there. There's a bit of revenge there. Like the old school kickboxer movies because of what?
Yeah.
That he did to Charlie Edwards. Either one, which one would you prefer to see him go down with after this?
Either one. I'd line them up one after the other. You know, I think that's Sonny Edwards' destiny. I think he will unify this flyweight division. Again, I think he's a, you know, he's a generational talent and he gets it. You know, the flyweight division's really tough. You know, and I've covered a lot of flyweights over the years. I started off covering Peter Culshaw, who was a Liverpool flyweight many, many moons ago and went to South Africa and defeated the great Baby Jake Matala.
Jesus.
And yet Peter Culshaw ended his career, you know, when he was a taxi driver, you know, once he retired, because, you know, it's true, there's no money in the flyweight division, but there is if you're an attraction. There is if you can bring eyeballs. Chocolatito is around this weight. He makes good money. Inoue makes good money. You know, there's little guys that can make money, but you've got to be able to cross over. And that's something Sonny Edwards does as almost as naturally as his boxing ability. He crosses over. He makes you care. You either love him or you hate him. Don't get me wrong. You know, he's a hell of a character on social media. He's not afraid to say his mind. And I think when DAZN signed him recently and put him on commentary, wow, he was incredible.
Incredible.
Absolutely incredible.
Right? Yeah, so, so good. What do you think? It is a double for the Brits then this weekend? You think both of them get to keep their belts, or you think there's an upset somewhere?
No, I'm like you. I think Josh Taylor's going to get it done over in New York City, and hopefully we can kickstart Josh Taylor's legacy, the second stage of his legacy. And I think Sonny Edwards, for me, is just going to absolutely bamboozle Campos like he does with everybody else. And he'll get that microphone and he'll rock it. And you know what? Him and Eddie, they started off, you know, a little bit bitter on social media. Yeah. But now they're together. Honestly, I think this could be the next... We had Hearn Bellew love story. I think the Hearn Edwards love story is next to come. You wait and see.
I agree. Hopefully, good luck to both of them on the weekend. Hopefully, both of them get their belts. And as Nick said there, we get some unification fights for both of them come the end of the year. Nick, as always, my man, appreciate you coming on. Thank you very much.
That's it for this week. Thank you so much for downloading our Fight Night Extra. Remember, we're back every single Tuesday for more great content. And if you miss us, make sure you subscribe to Fight Night to catch up on all our other episodes.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.